This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fueled. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're discussing the newly announced animated Star Wars series, Rebels. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. We're sorry for missing last week's episode, even though we said we were going to record, but we'll make it up to you by having an extra long show today, maybe, or something.
Yes. Theoretically.
Theoretically. at the beginning, we'd like to say that Bria is here with us. Bria from the blog and recent survivor of the Waru Express.
Hi, everyone.
You sound exhausted.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm just losing my voice, mostly. Allergies, but yeah.
We'll blame the Waru Express anyways. We'd like to remind you that Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial with your Amazon account. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and help keep the lights on the podcast running. And I would like to say that I have recently purchased some awesome Her Universe items at Star Wars Weekends and love them.
You know what? Let's just segue off of that ad stinger and let's talk about that the stuff you just picked up at Star Wars Weekends from Her Universe.
Well, technically, you bought the dress and the shirt.
Okay, yes, I bought the dress and the shirt for you, but there were other
yes.
things.
I got the Return of the Jedi necklace, which is awesome. And I might get another shirt, the tie-dye shirt that just says Star Wars on it, but I'm not sure about that. They also have an R2 costume hoodie, an Asajj Ventress costume hoodie, a new Padme shirt, like the old Padme Nouveau shirt, a bunch of other stuff that's awesome and adorable.
I think two of the most popular sellers out of Her Universe, and I think out of the entire Darth Maul's mall tent, the tent full of Star Wars merchandise set up at Star Wars Weekends, were the Her Universe Rogue Squadron dress and Rogue Squadron tank.
Yeah, I saw a ton of people wearing the tank, and I believe the dress is actually sold out.
Which, I was expecting the dress to sell well. I didn't expect it would sell that well.
Yeah, I actually had an issue with mine, and they're replacing it, no questions asked. And so they have to send in me a new one because they said they don't have any more at Star Wars Weekends.
But based on conversations you and I have had with other people who bought that dress, it sounds like yours was just a one-off defect.
It was just a problem with my dress. It's not the dress. The dress itself is awesome.
Yeah, so
getting another one.
And a couple people I talked to said they like these. They like the tank and dress so much, they want to go buy seconds and thirds just to have their own personal back stock.
I think I might do that with the tank because it's a really nice tank to wear to the parks, and with how gross they get there, it would be nice to have another one.
Yeah, so well done, Ashley. Two very, very well-designed items that a lot of people are really enjoying.
Yeah, and I told her She has two shirts out that are kind of the same style, the Han Solo shirt and the Darth Vader shirt. And she wore the Han Solo shirt the first day we were there. And I really, really liked that shirt. And I told her I hope she uses the same style for other designs because I don't want a Han Solo shirt. And she laughed and thanked me for the feedback because, you know, she likes that. So hopefully they'll use that same style for another shirt because it's really cool.
And head over. Or go ahead, Bria.
Did Ashley say when they're going to go online?
No, but I'm assuming probably sometime after Star Wars Weekends ends.
That's when their last batch of things debuted at Star Wars Weekends went online, right?
I think last year that's they went on sale after Star Wars Weekends was over. So hopefully.
I'm pouting.
So, Bria, I take it you want to get your own Rogue tank and dress?
Of course.
And then I had to go buy leggings for mine because Ashley was wearing leggings and I really liked it. So.
So to see the Rogue tank and the Rogue dress, head over to our Twitter account and look in our posted media. There is a picture of Ashley Eckstein and Nancy showing off both of those.
I look really sweaty, but I was at Disney World, so
everyone within a general 5-mile radius looked really sweaty that day.
Yep, except for Ashley, but she was wearing a lot of makeup to not be sweaty.
Okay, so let's go ahead and move on and discuss the new things on the blog since the last time we podcast. And as it's been for a while, it's mostly been the Bria show.
Yes, I was looking at the Waru Express posts to, you know, list, and then Bria finished today. So there are two Legacy of the Force posts, the books in between Legacy and Fate of the Jedi, two Fate of the Jedi posts, and then the conclusion. That's a lot. So Bria, do you have any thoughts now that the Waru Express has ended and your sanity is slowly returning?
It's mostly thank God. I'm done. I was counting it. We were counting in the pre-show, and I realized that I read 22 books since the previous podcast, which is, I know I read fast, but that's insane. It's been 130 books, 7 months. I don't suggest reading that many books in that short of a time if you enjoy your sanity. Aside from that, though, I figured out that I really do like the majority of the Star Wars universe. There's some crazy stuff out there. Some of it's just crack, and some of it is bad. But for the most part, it's enjoyable. I just don't recommend marathoning them. But
someone in the chat asks, are you in need of a liver transplant right now?
Yes. Aww. Or more alcohol.
But at least you ended on a really good note.
I did. It was good. It was nice reading having Mercy Kill at the end because I was basically throwing up my hands and saying I'm 300% done with these books right now by the time the last part of Fate of the Jedi rolled around. So if I hadn't had Mercy Kill waiting for me at the end, I might have curled up a little ball and cried. So but Mercy Kill, it's a nice bright point.
So you just finished the Waru Express. What is next on your reading list?
You had to ask that, didn't you?
Yes, I did, because I like just sticking the knife in there and twisting a little bit.
You're going to owe me, like, multiple drinks at Dragon Con if you keep this up.
Totally worth it.
Yeah. Next, I think I have to read Crucible, because everyone else on the staff has read the advanced copy, and I
haven't.
Oh. I thought you were reading.
Oh, I'm reading it.
Oh.
But
very slowly.
I'm not done yet.
Point stands. I still have to read Crucible, so that'll be fun. Yeah.
You sound thrilled.
So thrilled.
And, did you read all of the Mage Worlds books, Bria?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. Or else I was going to have to make you read the other ones.
I read all 7 the first Amnesty week. It was a whole thing.
That's right. I'm trying to think of what else I can make you read.
You know what? I think I might buy Bria a copy of Season of Passage.
Oh, God. Poor Bria.
What are you doing to me now?
Just ensuring that you never, ever sleep again.
Ooh, Nut has a good suggestion in the chat. The Quadrille books by Zahn. I've only read the first one, but it's really good.
And we did finally get you to read The Icarus Hunt, right?
Yes, I finally managed to get a copy of it.
Great.
Another series that's really good, I've only read the first one, but I really liked it, was Old Man's War by John Scalzi.
I already have 7 books on my reading list, besides the ones
you'll finish those in 2 days.
I'm not that fast.
Okay, a week. Sorry.
Better.
So congratulations. You survived the Warrior Express.
Round of applause.
Round of applause. Way to go, Bria. Way to go. Now we have to find something else to make a regular feature.
You can reread Game of Thrones.
I do that every summer.
Oh.
Like we can throw you at Star Trek tie-in fiction next.
Oh, no.
That's all Emily. That is all Emily.
Oh, boy. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And what else we got on the blog?
We have, speaking of Emily, she reviewed Star Trek Into Darkness. We'll talk about that a little later.
Yes, we will. And moving on into Fixer's Flash, where we discuss the geeky things we've been up to since the last time we all got together for this cavalcade of nerdery. And as per tradition, we start with Nancy.
Yes. Well, there was a reason we didn't podcast last week.
And there that's because.
Yes, there was.
Oh.
Because you were here.
Oh, that's right.
God.
I got on a plane and went to Florida.
You did. And why did you come to Florida?
To hang out with you.
Okay, why was the other reason?
To see your mom.
Could go to Star Wars weekend.
There we go.
Woo! And yes, it was a lot of fun. This was your first time at Star Wars weekends.
It was, yes.
As you live in the other side of the country.
Yes, just a little ways away from Disney World.
Yeah, but it was, I've been there pretty much almost every weekend for the past 3 years, and I really enjoy it. And we had 2 days we went. We kind of did the earlier things on Friday and the later events on Saturday because it's really hot and I can't spend the whole day in the park.
Yeah, you've got to, if you're at Star Wars weekends and it's really hot out, take advantage of the shows in the premiere theater.
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
As it's pitched, you may not care about what's in the show, but there's air conditioning.
Definitely. There's nice air conditioning. So the first day we went to Hollywood Studios, and what was the first thing we did?
Star Tours!
Star Tours! I don't remember what we got. We got Tatooine a lot, and Naboo a lot.
I was disappointed with how often we got Naboo.
I know. The first time I was like, oh, cool, I haven't gotten this one in a while. You know, it's fun. It has a funny ending. And then I think we got it like
four straight times.
And I was like, okay, enough.
But we did get Hoth a couple of times, and Hoth is the best.
Yeah, we got Hoth and we got Coruscant, but we didn't get Geonosis, which made me sad.
I think you and I are in agreement that the best sequence is the Vader intro.
Mm-hmm.
Hoth.
Yes.
Which message?
I like the Ackbar one the best because it's Ackbar.
I agree. So Vader, Hoth, Ackbar, Geonosis.
Yes. And I would like to note that Boba Fett is featured in the Geonosis sequence. So I don't necessarily hate him all the time.
Yes, yeah,
I think he's useful where he is used.
Absolutely.
Yes. So we went on Star Tours, and then we met up with some friends to see the Star Wars Celebrity Motorcade, and which is also features the 501st and Rebel Legion in the parade, and the doors opened, and the first thing we see is Isard, and we were like,
that was a really good Isard.
It was a
cosplayer.
Good one. Yes.
We tweeted a picture of it. It's again our official Twitter account in the posted media. There's a picture there.
Yes, and she was good. And a bunch of other people dressed up. It's always fun to see the costumes because, you know, some of the people are the same every week because they're locals, but then people come from, you know, all around the country to march in the parade. And so I always like seeing, you know, who's there. And unfortunately, the awesome emperor wasn't there during the parade on Friday because we found out that he is he's actually a history teacher. So he was in school that day. But hopefully I will see him when I go this weekend on a Sunday, because if you were at Celebration or if you were at, I think he was at MegaCon too, he just sits there and has this sneer on his face and pretends to do force lightning at people.
That is the single greatest Palpatine cosplayer ever.
He's really cool. After the parade, we went to the Behind the Force show, which is where they go talk about how they film the Clone Wars and do Star Wars voices. And Dee Bradley Baker was the guest this week. And he is really awesome. He does Captain Rex and Cody and all the other clones. And he's just really, really fun and hyper. And led us in a chant of "the best of Star Wars is yet to come." And then we went to see Starts of the Saga show, which was featuring Ray Park and Jeremy Bullock. And then we finally got into Darth Maul, which had huge lines all day until the end of the day.
Yeah, let's put it to you this way. The line till like about 4 o'clock was about 3 hours to get in.
Yeah, that's what happens when they have pass holder exclusive merchandise. And I was kind of worried I wasn't going to be able to get the necklace because there were only 500 of them, but I managed to get one. So after that, we were very tired and we hot, so we left. And the second day, we went to Behind the Force again. Then we went over to the Her Universe booth at the Darth Maul because Ashley was doing a merchandise signing, and I got her to sign the inside of my hoodie, the Rogue hoodie, which if you do that, it's a great place for her to sign because it's inside the hoodie, but it's also really awkward to have her sign it while you're wearing it. So you could probably take that off and have her sign it, you know, before you wear it. Then we went on Star Tours again, I think a few times.
At least twice.
Yeah. We did the Ray Park show, which is punnily called Visit to the Mall, where he does all these martial arts demonstrations and then he leads kids in a demonstration, and it's really, really cute. We saw James Arnold Taylor's show, Obi-Wan and Beyond, which is very, very funny and very inspirational, and everyone should go see it. Even if you saw it last year at Star Wars Weekends, it's all new this year. And then we ended our time at Star Wars Weekends, as one should always end their time at Star Wars Weekends, with the Hyperspace Hoopla.
I love the Hyperspace Hoopla. It's a bunch of people treating Star Wars.
It's like crack.
It is. It's Star Wars on crack.
It's a crack fic.
It is. It's AU crack fic, in which Emperor Palpatine, for some reason, is obsessed with a variety TV show in the galaxy far, far away.
Yep. It's really, really funny. You can actually find it online.
Some people might ask why something that absurd exists in the Star Wars fandom, and I say, why not?
Also very funny, before the Stars of the Saga show, they have a Stormtrooper pre-show, and that is hilarious.
Yes, it is the reason to go to Star Wars Weekends, for the Stormtrooper pre-show.
Yes. The best part was when they showed the Stormtroopers in pictures working all over the parks. And then they showed Vader getting it on the act, and he was recording lines for The Lion King.
Everything the light touches is yours.
Yes, it's funny.
But yes, if you have the chance to go to Star Wars Weekends, go to Star Wars Weekends.
Yes, you should.
Hang out with a bunch of people that love Star Wars at the happiest place on Earth.
Yeah, and it's fun because, you know, you go to the parade and you just randomly meet new friends.
And, you know, if y'all go there and drive the numbers up, it might show Disney that there's a want for Star Wars-themed expansions at their parks. Just a thought.
Yes.
What else were you up to?
We also went to the movies.
We did go to the movies.
Yes, we went to see that other Star franchise.
Yes, we went... Wait, Star Search?
No.
Not Star Search.
Star Trek.
Oh, that's right. Ed McMahon wasn't there.
Yes. And we had thoughts about it.
Yes, we did. Bria, did you have any thoughts on Star Trek?
One or two.
Well, we're going to talk a lot more about it next week when Emily's on the show. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to be on this week, so we'll be postponing our review, and by then everyone will have seen it, so we can spoil the hell out of everybody. So here's your notice that we will be spoiling Star Trek Into Darkness
next
when we talk
show,
about it next
spoiler
week.
Heavy.
Mm-hmm. But suffice it to say, Emily liked it a lot more than Brian and I did.
Yeah. I had problems with it.
Yeah, and not even the problems of the, you know, the women in the underwear.
No.
Not even that variety. I had other issues.
I mean, that was a problem, but we had other issues.
Yeah, but we'll talk about it next week.
Yep.
But, yes. And then I made you watch, start watching Stargate SG-1.
Yes, you did.
Yes, and I still love the show. What did you think, Brian?
It appears to be campy science fiction, and I am always in favor of campy science fiction.
Yay! Unfortunately, you had to watch a really bad episode last night.
Yes, what was that, the fourth episode?
Yeah, because
the fourth episode was not good.
No, it was not. No. I told you we could skip it, but you wanted to watch them all.
I regret it.
Yeah.
But no, it's a fun show. I don't know why I hadn't watched it years ago.
And is Jack O'Neill not the best?
Jack O'Neill is the best, but I still think of him as MacGyver.
Nope. Not when you finish the show, you won't.
I don't know.
Mm-mm.
Come on, it's MacGyver.
It's Jack O'Neill.
Okay, if you say so.
I was reading about the show, and when they approached him to do the role, he said that he agreed to it, but only if they'd let him bring more humor to the part than Kurt Russell did. And he didn't want to have to carry the whole show by himself like he did on MacGyver. And I'm like, see, that's why I like him.
Ah, good guy, Richard Dean Anderson, good guy.
Mm-hmm. So, Brian, besides going to Star Wars weekends and watching stuff with me, what have you been doing?
I finished an advanced copy of Crucible.
Yay?
Yay.
Well, you finished it, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, indeed. Yes, indeed. I'm going to be working on my written review of that this week, because we've got another advanced copy coming down the pipe for us. But we'll hit it up in July when it comes out. I think the idea is we're going to bring in Bria and Emily again, and we're going to do we'll do a roundtable podcast, since this book is kind of a bookend to a lot of things. And as Nancy mentioned, we went and saw Star Trek Into Darkness, and I had mixed feelings. Many, many mixed feelings.
Yeah. There were parts that I liked.
Yeah, it wasn't a movie without merits.
No, it had good parts.
But, yeah, again, next week we have Emily on, and we're going to do a spoiler-filled review of Star Trek Into Darkness, which should be fun. But if you haven't seen it by that point, don't listen to the episode.
Yes. Well, you can listen to the beginning, but then turn off.
Yes. both you and I were on the Wrong Opinions About Movies podcast as part of their retrospective of all the Star Trek films, and you and I tackled Star Trek 2009.
Yes, I wonder why.
I wonder why.
Well, besides, it's the only Star Trek movie have I seen. So. Yeah. It was an easy choice.
We're going to make you watch Voyage Home.
Yeah, I know.
Or at the very least, Galaxy Quest.
I've seen Galaxy Quest!
And then you've seen the best Star Trek movie ever. I think it's safe to say that you and I like Star Trek 2009 a lot more than Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah, I really, really like 2009.
I did too, because it was an imminently accessible movie.
Yes, it was very good.
Yes, but that's what I've been up to. Hey, Bria, how about you?
Well, I think we already covered that I read the finished the Waru Express up, so it's mostly been doing a lot of reading. I saw Star Trek 2, and because I won't be here next week, all I'll say is I think I enjoyed it more than both of you, but less than Emily. I mean, I had fun while I was watching it. The woman in underwear part made me side-eye a bit, and so did a certain decision, I'll put it that way.
Yes, we'll call it a writing decision.
Yes.
Right now.
Not the word I would have used, but yeah, to avoid spoilers, well, yeah. But I mean, overall, I mostly enjoyed it. And then aside from that, I haven't done too much else geeky, but if Brian gets to mention baseball when we're doing these things, then I get to mention the sports I enjoy, which would be I went to the Preakness Stakes on Saturday, which is the second jewel of the Triple Crown of horse racing.
Did you have a hat?
I did.
Oh, yes.
Did you see my White Hot Room post from Friday?
No, I missed it.
Oh, it is a fabulous hat, let me tell you.
I gotta go look at this now.
Because I had to wear a different dress because it was raining and you don't want to wear a white dress in the rain. But I figured I knew I had a good hat when I had the gay guy behind me was like, honey, you need to put that up in your room like a trophy. When he complimented me on it and I had like random people be like, oh my God, I love your hat. I was like, all right, I did well with this, but...
Okay, I'm looking at it now and inadvertently the people in the chat are also seeing it now. That is a very nice hat.
Why, thank you.
Well done, Bria.
Thank you.
And that is Fixer's Flash this week, and get comfortable, because we missed a week, Deke's Dirt, the news from around fandom, is going to be long. And we're going to start with news that Kenobi got a cover, and Razor's Edge moved up to October 1st.
Yes. The cover features Obi-Wan looking Obi-Wan-ish. I like the promo art better, but this is good.
You know, this is a good cover, but I'm with you. I did like the promo art more.
But as John Jackson Miller said, that was always intended to be promo art and to, you know, be seen on a PowerPoint slide and from far away. So this was just kind of a different orientation, but I like it. It's got Obi-Wan, it's got the Lars homestead, it's got the twin sons. It's good.
Yeah, it's everything that should be on the cover of a book called Kenobi.
Yes. And Razor's Edge is now coming out a bit earlier, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, I am very excited for both Kenobi and Razor's Edge.
Yeah, Kenobi is my book I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, so we should be getting the advanced copy for Kenobi soon, and I think that's going to be the next book I dive into. I am very, very excited.
Me too. And also, I think we're going to have John Jackson Miller on the podcast later.
Yes, John Jackson Miller agreed to come on to the podcast, and I think we're going to try and schedule him a little bit after Kenobi releases.
Yeah, sometime around then, so we can actually talk about the book and give spoilers and all that.
Yeah, I mean, we had Aaron Alston about a month before Mercy Kill came out, and I wish terribly we'd scheduled him after.
Yeah.
So we've learned our lesson there. We're gonna get when we get a guest, we'll try and get him on after their latest thing has come out.
Yeah.
Into the gaming front, Electronic Arts teased a new Battlefront game. Battlefront, the popular Star Wars game series, was rumored to have a third installment in the works years ago, but various issues at LucasArts killed the project. But now that EA has the Star Wars IP, it's back on the table, and it looks like it's going to happen, which is great, and which also means you can stop asking about Battlefront at completely unrelated Star Wars panels at conventions. Please!
Yeah.
Timothy Zahn does not know when Battlefront is going to release, so stop asking.
But he's Timothy Zahn. He knows everything.
Every time someone asks that particular question, I see everyone on the panel wanting to facepalm clear through their skulls.
The only person you should ever ask video game questions about are Michael Sackville and Aaron Olsen, because they actually worked on video games.
Actually, they didn't work on video games. They worked on pen and paper games.
I thought they did work on video games.
Well, they might have done a little bit of work on video games, but their backgrounds were pen and paper RPGs.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. For some reason, I thought that they had done work on it. Well, you can definitely ask Mike about the X-Wing games because, you know, he played it a lot.
And referenced them several times in his novels.
Another person you can ask about video games would be Drew Karpyshyn.
Yes, you ask Drew Karpyshyn about video games.
Drew Karpyshyn will be glad to answer your questions about video games.
Timothy Zahn,
no. Because he wrote them. No.
Other authors, no. Timothy Zahn, go for it.
I would imagine that Timothy Zahn has never even played a video game because he's very non-technological.
Yeah, so if you have questions about Battlefront, I suggest you go to E3.
Yeah.
Try there. Let's see. Kathleen Kennedy is going to Celebration Europe. Will we get some sequel trilogy news this summer? Man, I hope so.
Hopefully.
Please, please. I just confirm something. Anything. I'll take anything at this point.
No more rumors. I can't take these casting rumors anymore, and we haven't even started them officially.
And speaking of news and rumors involving Episode 7, we have a whole section devoted to that today. I apologize. You know, Nancy suggested that we gotta get a clip from Spaceballs every time we talk about Episode 7 news and rumors.
Can I say it?
Yes, you can say it.
So I said we need to have a clip. Every time we talk about unfounded rumors, it needs to be the guy combing the desert who says, "We ain't found shit."
Yes.
This is why I need a soundboard. I'm going to have to work on that. And kicking it off, Michael Kaplan will be doing costumes for Episode 7. Michael Kaplan, who did costume design for the latest Star Trek films. So let's just hope he doesn't give all the female Jedi miniskirts.
I don't think he will, but at the same time, I'm disappointed we didn't get Trisha back.
Yeah, me too. She did such good costumes.
They were gorgeous. No more dresses. I want them back.
I was gonna like say something snarky about, you know, the female Jedi outfits, and then I remembered Aayla Secura and Ahsoka Tano and every other female Jedi who doesn't wear Jedi robes, because apparently they don't have to.
No, wait, not Barriss. Not Barriss and Luminara.
That is true. But they still wear different... They still wear different stuff. Not necessarily skimpy, but they... I don't get why most of the Jedi, female Jedi we see that aren't on the council don't wear the robes. I mean, I guess it's cool to have different costumes, but it just always confused me. And it's like, and the Padawan haircut too. I don't get it. But then I guess that haircut was dumb anyway.
Yeah. No arguments here.
Yeah.
Episode 7 producer Brian Burke says that there still might be plenty of secrecy involving Episode 7, contrary to Kathleen Kennedy's earlier statements.
Yay.
Yeah, you sound thrilled about that, Nancy.
Nope.
And he was quoted as saying, "I guess what I'm saying is that it's always that balance. It's a hard thing. If I were to right now tell you all of the things that were going to happen in Star Wars in detail, the left side of your brain would say, awesome, you guys would have this exclusive stuff and know all of this stuff. But the right side is going to sit down one day and see the movie for the first time, and you'd have all of that kind spoiled, or all that kind of spoiled. So it's that balance of wanting to know everything and not wanting to know everything at the same time. It's like a magic trick, and there's nobody who wants to know how all of the magic tricks are done more than me. Then the second I learn how they're done, it's like, oh, and it kind of goes away. My response into this is, you know what? Yes, telling you everything about the movie before it comes out is bad. On the other hand, so is doing what J.J. Abrams did with Into Darkness.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so all of us saw Into Darkness. Did his secrecy over who Benedict Cumberbatch was playing...
Spoilers!
Yeah.
Well, we're not saying who he was.
We're not saying who he was, but did the secrecy actually help the movie at all?
No.
No.
Because everyone figured it out, and then they just lied when they said, no, you're wrong. So it didn't help. But, on the other hand, if they do a decent amount of secrecy, I'm not talking about the, oh, haha, we're going to lie about this and not give us as much information as remember they gave us for, like, Revenge of the Sith, I'll be happy. Because it's less spoilers you have to dodge if you don't want to find them out, so.
I managed to stay mostly spoiler-free for the prequels. I knew the basic plots. I knew who people were playing. The only reason I found out that Padme died was because I flipped through this young reader book at the bookstore where I knew I shouldn't have been doing it, but I did it anyway, and I saw a picture of your funeral, and then I immediately threw the back on the shelf and tried to erase that from my memory. But, like, there wasn't anything there that I said, oh, that was ruined for me. Like, even I knew that Qui-Gon died because they spoiled it on the soundtrack. But I assumed that the only person coming out of that fight alive was going to be Obi-Wan because he was the only one who had to. So basically is what I'm saying is that even if they give you information, you can still stay spoiler-free if you choose to.
Mostly.
You don't have to. It's harder now with social media.
Yeah, that's what I'm mostly worried about, the social media aspect.
Well, I guess what I'm annoyed by is the whole Benedict Cumberbatch thing really didn't warrant being a spoiler.
No. Secrecy for the sake of secrecy and trying to create some sort of mystique is dumb. You know, keeping a plot point secret because it's, you know, will spoil the movie is completely different. Like, for example, I am your father. That's something you want to keep quiet.
Yes, I mean, that's something you don't go throwing out on the internet.
Yeah.
But, like, who Benedict Cumberbatch is playing, there's no point to keeping that secret.
Yeah.
No. But as far as Burke's comment, I like the metaphor that he used about the magic trick. I'm not necessarily talking about, like, directly... about doing exactly what they did with Star Trek, but I like the idea of them not giving us a lot of information. You know what I mean? Or tons and tons of information. I just really like the metaphor he used, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, you boil it down, it's all about balance. I think perhaps in the past Star Wars has been guilty of being too open, but you can't do the Abrams thing and be too closed down either, especially not with this fandom.
Yeah.
So find that balance.
So basically, I'm hoping they do what they did with the prequels. They release them. I can't remember. I think they released them in all the English speaking countries at the same time. I'm pretty sure they tried to release them around the same times. So we don't have to worry about, you know, England seeing it two months before we do and then going, ah, spoilers.
Yes, if that happens, I am going to be taking a sabbatical from the internet.
Yeah.
Someone else can run the blog for a while.
Who's going to run the blog for 2 weeks if that happens?
Nobody, because none of us will want to do it.
Alternatively, we all go to England.
True.
Why did you have to pitch that?
Because that's a good idea.
Not only is that a good idea, but if that were to happen, that they get it before we do, I think I might actually do it.
Tosche Station field trip.
Oh, we'll file that one away. Moving on outside of Star Wars and into the general macro world of fandom, Kindle Worlds.
Oh, God.
Amazon will be selling licensed fan fiction for certain properties, and my initial gut reaction is do not want.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'm sorry. There is a line I draw in the sand when it comes to with fan works like fan fiction. Do not profit. Ever.
Yeah. It's kind of like Club Jade had a really good article about it, and it's like the unwritten rule of fanfic is you do not make money from fanfic.
Yeah.
And I agree.
And really, though, Bria, you pointed this out in the show notes. Can you even call it fanfic if you're selling it?
That wasn't
no.
me.
Wait, that wasn't you. I thought it was. Nancy made that point.
One of us did.
One of you did.
It was Nancy.
But I don't think you can. I think it's pro fiction media tie-in at that point.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be. Like, I mean, that's my argument when people say that certain EU books are glorified fan fiction. No, they're not glorified fan fiction because they are not fan fiction. They are books written by authors who are commissioned by Del Rey, who holds the license to write these. They are paid for their work. They work for hire. And just because you didn't write the book, like the book, doesn't mean you're allowed to call them, you know, equate them with fanfic authors. No, they're not by definition. Now, if you hated the book and you thought they're crappy writers, that's a different story altogether. But point being, if you're getting paid for something you're writing, it's no longer fanfiction.
Which is why this Kindle Worlds thing is just bizarre, and I am not a fan.
Yeah.
It's going to explode terribly.
It's going to blow up in people's faces. It's going to be ugly, and it's going to create a level of fandom wankst the world has yet to see.
Yeah. Especially given the fandoms involved.
It is targeting the most wanksty fan, the most, I'm sorry, I'll just put this bluntly, the most wanksty teen fandoms out there.
Unfortunately. And I'd say this is someone who enjoys Pretty Little Liars and used to enjoy Vampire Diaries, so.
I feel sorry for no one, I feel incredibly sorry for the poor editor who is going through that slush pile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not enough.
I did see someone make a point, though. I think it might have been on Twitter about how, whether or not this is any different from how artists have been able to sell pieces like commissions and all of fan work, even though they don't technically have a license or something like that.
I've talked to an IP lawyer friend of mine who believe that if the IP owners wanted to shut down the practice of selling commissioned artwork of someone else's intellectual property, they probably would be well within their rights to do so. They just don't because it flies under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And what bothers me about this Kindle Worlds thing is that it suddenly brings a lot of scrutiny onto fan fiction. And I don't know if I like the precedent it's setting.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, what could happen is a bunch of these IP holders say, oh yeah, you can write fan fiction so long as it passes through editors, through a rigorous publishing contract and process. And yeah, if you pass through all that, yeah, you can write it. And then we'll option your ideas and you have no claim to anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John Scalzi also wrote a post about this and went over some of the issues with the contract that surprisingly, not surprisingly, I say that sarcastically, are not very favorable to the writers, but very favorable to the licensors and Amazon. But basically, if you, you know, come up with an idea in your story, then that's, they can, anyone else can use it. They can use it. It's like when you write for Star Wars, anything you create for that book is property of Star Wars. And, you know, I kind of think that of that differently because, you know, the people who write Star Wars books and most other media tie-in fiction, you know, usually are writing other books of their own. And for example, take Timothy Zahn. He was writing his own books. He got contract to write Heir to the Empire. And because it was Star Wars and he got so much exposure, you know, he is now very successful and probably owes a lot of that to being at the right place at the right time to write those three books. But then again, you know, he had an agent and possibly a lawyer to go over his contract and say, okay, well, this is fine. And he agreed that anything he wrote was for property of Lucasfilm. But I worry about people who are just so in a rush to get their fanfic published that they don't understand that's how this works. And it's the same thing with those ebook, a lot of the ebook only publishers now that are accepting submissions unsolicited from writers directly. The contracts are terrible. And, you know, some of the authors might sign them because they don't know. So,
yeah, and it the contract terms just looked predatory to me. I mean, yeah. Obviously, I'm not an IP lawyer. I'm not a contract lawyer. So nothing I say here is definitive, but it didn't look very fair to me. And a cynical person would say this is just a way for the IP creators to mine for content legally.
Yeah, I mean, working for there, you know, I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with working for hire if you know what you're doing and that's what you want to do.
Well, I don't think the bulk of people who'd sign up for Kindle Worlds fit that description.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah. And ultimately, the problem I find with this is you can get all this for free.
Yeah.
On fanfiction.net or AO3.
What?
Yeah, you don't actually have to pay for fanfiction. I'm not sure if anyone knew that. I know, that kind of a world-shattering thing right there.
It's amazing.
So, yes, I think all three of us find this to be pretty silly.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll see how it plays out. I'm not particularly hopeful.
No.
And moving on to some better news, in news that will delight most of our staff and listeners, ABC has officially picked up S.H.I.E.L.D. and
yes!
released an awesome promo video.
Yes! Thank you!
Yes!
S.H.I.E.L.D.!
Ah! Whedon's back on TV!
Don't
it's
touch
S.H.I.E.L.D.!
Lola.
S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV!
Coulson
S.H.I.E.L.D.
lives!
I'll just let you two guys squee for a while.
You can't tell we're excited.
Not
even I'm excited.
Which is great because I think Nancy and I needed a new show.
I know, we did. Well, that's what you said. You said, what's our new show going to be? And I was like, well, duh, S.H.I.E.L.D. Come on. I know that.
Oh, once upon a time, you've disappointed me for the last time.
We didn't even watch the last episode.
Yes, that's how bad it got.
I was going to quit the show, but then they did something in the last 5 minutes that made me go, damn it, I have to keep watching. So
now the question is, Brian, do we watch or not?
I'm in no hurry.
I'll just tell you, there were certain characters that were brought back into play.
Did Belle die? That's all I need to know right now.
I don't think so.
Ah, crap.
But there were certain characters who were brought back that you if you guys know me, you know which ones I'm probably talking about.
I've got a guess, yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah. So they pulled me in, unfortunately. But S.H.I.E.L.D.
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 Amazing.
Yes.
I think I hyperventilated
Mara's
during the trailer.
For S.H.I.E.L.D. too. Mara wants to join in on the conversation.
Mara the attack dog. And finally, we're going to wrap Deke's Dirt up with the big Star Wars news of the last week. And that is Star Wars Rebels. The new animated series from Dave Filoni, Simon Kinberg, and Greg Weissman, coming in fall 2014, and it covers the time period between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, the Dark Ages.
Dark times.
But yes, and that is going to segue us right into Cammy's concerns this week. Our hopes for Star Wars Rebels.
Woo!
Woohoo! Woo! Yes, Star Wars Rebels. This is what Dave Filoni's been hinting at for a little while with all of his pictures of TIE fighters.
Yes. So, at first I was a little meh. Because I was hoping for a post-Return of the Jedi era, and I was gonna, like, I really have no interest in the Dark Times at all. But then I was thinking about it some more, and I was thinking, oh, well, they can use these characters, and oh, that they can use these characters, and oh, they can do this and that, and then I kind of got a little more excited.
Yeah, I was cool on the idea at first. I was like, well, it was a more interesting era to me than the Clone Wars era, but I wasn't all that hot on it. But the more I thought about it, the more excited I got.
Well, see, I have a very simple problem with the Dark Times. A certain character is stuck on a desert the whole time and really can't do anything interesting whatsoever. I mean, the most interesting thing he does is go to Tashi Station to pick up some power converters.
But I was going to Tashi Station to pick up some power converters!
Yes. Or fly through Beggar's Canyon.
Bullseye some Womp Rats.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's out. I mean, he really can't do anything. I don't really want to see Obi-Wan because someone said, I would like the reveal in A New Hope to be like, oh, it's Obi-Wan's return. It's Obi-Wan. Ah. So, yeah. But I think there's other stuff they can do with it.
Yeah. So what are you thinking on this era, Bria?
I'm excited for it. I mean, I think I was more excited than you guys were because I actually really like this era. I think it means that we get to see, I love the political side of things, so I'm crossing my fingers that at some point we'll get to see Leia or Bail in the Senate being all political and being like, no, this is how this is going to go. But I figured that if we can't get an animated series about with the X-Wing novels that's catered more towards adults and it's not like a kid's cartoon, then this is the next best thing, and I am perfectly happy with it.
Yeah. I just hope that I would like if it takes place closer to A New Hope than Revenge of the Sith. Mainly because the title is Star Wars Rebels. And while I realize that they're probably going to overrun EU, not that there is a lot during this time period.
There's way less there than, say, the Clone Wars era.
But the issue is that, you know, in the scroll, it is a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships striking from a hidden base have won their first victory against the Galactic Empire. So it's right there in the movie. First victory. You can't fudge that. I mean, maybe you can, but
you can. You can just assume it means like a first major victory, or I know. For example,
but I'm just hoping they don't though, because then you have the whole, you know, my powers have doubled since the last time we met, count, which was last week, and also the fact that like I do like the idea that the rebel groups were all spread across the galaxy, and then not very long before A New Hope was when they all came together and created the Rebel Alliance. And I kind of hope they stick to that idea just because I think it's really neat. And it kind of matches up with what Dave Filoni has said about that whole Onderon arc they did last year, which is, you know, showing like this is how rebel groups formed. So if he sticks to that, I think it could be really cool, as in showing rebels all across in different planets, and then
the series climax could be how all of these groups become one unified rebellion.
Which leads me to something else they could bring in later, which I'm going to have to write down now. I got another idea.
Well, I was just going to say is like, I'm basically going to agree with you, Nancy, because in the Han Solo books, you have like this small Corellian offshoot. So yeah. You could kind of sort of fudge it by being like, oh, well, the Corellian group is, they've won a small little victory, or the group that Bail Organa is leading has won a small little victory. But you still have that one big first victory after they all get together.
Yeah. So what other plots would we like to see? Obviously, Birth of the Rebellion, which will be probably like the fifth time it's showed.
Okay, so do we want to get in trouble with the continuity diehards here? Let's go ahead and get in trouble with the continuity diehards. I have zero problems if Rebels overwrites anything that the Force Unleashed or the Coruscant Knights novels did.
Oh, yeah. I have no problem overrunning Force Unleashed, but the problem is I think considering who was involved in Force Unleashed and who did the voices and later did a voice on Clone Wars, they might end up using him. Mm. I'm speaking of Sam Witwer, who was the secret apprentice. And later Darth Maul. I could see them bringing him back because he... Sorry.
Well, they can bring him back.
Don't want to bring down the podcast.
They can bring him back, but have him play, you know, someone else.
And then just throw all the Coruscant Knight continuity out. Please, I'll happily take that.
Just so we never have to hear about Evan Peel again.
Yeah. I would gladly watch Vader hunting down the Jedi.
That could be cool.
I would watch a lot of that.
Including Ahsoka.
You and I just desperately want that final confrontation between Vader and Ahsoka, in which just as Vader is about to cut Ahsoka down for the last time, he looks down at her and says, goodbye, Snips.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, but...
You guys are cruel. Cruel and unusual.
No, it's not cruel. It's because I think Ahsoka is an important enough character that she needs a definitive ending, and it needs to be something important. And, you know, if she's one last separation of Vader from Anakin, you know, I think that would be neat.
Also, so she can't show up in a book 40 years later and have us all wondering, where were you when people were dying?
That's the main reason.
Every time an Old Republic Jedi crops up in that time frame.
As much as I love Ashley and would love to see her back, I don't want Ahsoka showing up in the sequel trilogy.
Oh.
And no, I have never told Ashley I want Ahsoka to die.
But it's not that we don't like Ahsoka. We love Ahsoka.
I have no problem with Ahsoka living if I don't think they'd try to bring her back.
Yeah, but we love Ahsoka so much, we want to have an end game for her that makes sense in the universe.
If the last time she walked off into the sunset in the Clone Wars is the last time we see her character, I will be happy, because that means she survived, and maybe she lived out a happy life on her pony farm, as Kinsetta Parker likes to say. but then have that be it. Don't have her come back and be like, oh, hi, Luke, I'm going to tell you how to run the Jedi Order. And he can be like, excuse me? What? Could have used your help.
Yeah, I mean... If that is her last moment, walking off into the sunset and leaving the Jedi Order, I think it's a pretty poetic ending. I liked how it worked in context.
Yeah.
You can definitely do worse.
Yeah.
So, obviously, another plot point they can address is, how did they get their hands on the Death Star plans?
For the fifth time.
Yes, for the fifth time. Do they officially bring in Kyle Katarn into G-Canon?
I wouldn't mind seeing another version of this one, though, because there's so many of them and in so many different forms of media. It's not like they'd be, you know, overrunning just one thing. It'd be more like, okay, this is the final definitive version.
Now, if they do bring in Kyle Katarn into the G-Canon, he better be voiced by Chuck Norris.
No, he better have a beard.
Better have a beard, better be voiced by Chuck Norris. I'm just
Sam Witwer could play Kyle Katarn.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Who added that last note? I like that.
Me. I was just thinking of it because when we were talking about rebel groups on different planets, I thought of the Antarian Rangers.
Ooh.
Yes.
I mean, the Clone Wars brought in a bunch of things from the expanded universe. You had like the Night Sisters.
Yeah.
So this could be that. Bring in the Antarian Rangers, mm-hmm. and show them doing their rebellion thing.
Yeah.
I'd love that. It's like
the destruction of Toprara.
It's like the Onderon arc, but for this series, it fits perfectly.
Because they never depicted that. They just talked about it in the EU.
Yeah, I just added a show note there, and I think Nancy and Bria approved.
Yeah.
Formation of Red Squadron.
The Formation of Red Squadron. Let's see the first time that Jek Biggs...
Red Flight.
let's see the first time Porkins, Biggs, and Wedge got together to fly. Aww.
Red 2 standing by.
So can we also have people in the Empire?
Yes.
Can we have Baron Fell?
Please.
So the formation of the 181st.
Yes.
If Vanessa Starflare is making films in the background, I'll probably squee very, very loudly.
I want them to have Winslet Starflare movies in the background and Face Loran films in the background.
Yes.
You just want our headcanon Face Loran drinking game to be a thing.
Yes, I do. I want it to be a thing. But yeah, I mean, you can have, you know, X-Wings versus TIE Fighters, which are awesome. You can have Baron Fell. How early did Wedge join the Alliance? How much before A New Hope was he in the Alliance?
It couldn't have been too much before, because I don't think he's that much older than Luke, right?
Yeah. No, he's not. But I was just thinking, would there have been time for them to actually fly against each other?
You know, I'm not sure. I'd have to.
Does it really matter? They'd make it so they could anyway.
Oh, of course.
If they really wanted to.
But I'm okay with things being altered to make that work. Just saying. That was fine.
Yeah, I had another idea. If they, you know, because they have so many years and we have no idea when they're going to do these stories. But if they do it like 10 or so years before A New Hope, they could have Han in the Academy.
Ooh.
With Fel.
Yes. I need this.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that idea.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if they can bring in Han, they're going to bring in Han.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could do a whole story of how Chewie and Han met or whatever. I would rather see Han at the Academy because it's something they never remember. And it could be really cool to show him as, like, a really smart guy, and then, you know, he turns into a rebel.
Going back to that Wedge question, it looks like the earliest mention of him in the Rebellion was 1 year before the Battle of Yavin, but the way I'm reading this Wikipedia entry, it could be a couple of years before that.
Well, they can make it up. I can see them including Wedge. He's a popular movie character.
Oh, and Nut in the chat points out that The Essential Guide to Warfare had Wedge, Wes, and Jek flying with the Tiefer and Yellow. Yeah, with the Yellow Aces.
Yay! Woo!
Oh, hey, wait a minute. That means you can have Kissick, what's his name, Kissick Doran?
Ooh, yes!
Hellfather.
Yes! Seriously, there is so much material to mine out of the X-Wing books.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Which, of course, gets me to my pipe dream of Aaron Alston writing an episode of Rebels.
And we have Zahn writing an episode.
And Stackpole.
Is it sad that now that George Lucas is gone, I can actually legitimately see all of these things happening? I mean, I love George Lucas, but...
I mean, if you have an X-Wing, if you have a starfighter battle... focus episode. I mean, who are you going to call?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, Nut in the chat just brought up Tomer Darpin would be in the Yellow Aces too. Ejector Darpin.
Yes.
Oh, well, I love this because essentially you've got pilots stepping into the place where the clone troopers were in the Clone Wars.
And you can have some clone-centric episodes because the clones are going to be being phased out.
There's some really emotional stuff you can do there.
How do the clones interact with the stormtroopers?
Ooh, that's good.
I think that would be interesting. How do the clones interact with the new stormtroopers? You know, they're aging a lot faster.
Yeah.
You know? So we were talking about characters we'd like to see, so we should continue on with that. And I know Bria likes the next note.
What gave that away?
Because there's only one person in here who would type out in all caps, Alderaan!
Guilty. I just really, really want to see Leia, who I think we actually have a decent shot of seeing, as depending yes. on like when the show is set, which by the way, I think they'll start at like about 10 years before and then work their way up. But mm-hmm. I really want to see Leia. And if we see Winter animated and on screen, I might pass someone out a will little
have,
bit.
Yeah, someone will have to check to make sure she's alive.
I might not still be just, alive.
Even if there's just like a white-headed girl in the background.
Yep.
Although it does make a lot of sense for this show, for Leia to have a young friend and confidant.
Yeah,
it does.
Well, we could have the Princess Leia Diaries animated.
Yeah. I'm ashamed to admit how much I want those.
Well, I remember I was saying how much I would like a Leia novel that's political. And while I'm really glad to be getting Razor's Edge, I would really like a novel that took place before A New Hope, when she's still in the Senate, when she's interacting with Palpatine and Vader. And, you know, her dad is trying to groom her into a politician at the same time, you know, turn her into a rebel. And now with this show, we can get that.
Yes.
And I know Kat Tabor was doing her voice in Detours. So they've got a Leia right there.
Yeah, Leia is a no-brainer. I think if Leia's there, you should consider reaching into the EU and grabbing Winter to go Please. There with her.
Please mm-hmm. do.
Yep.
Do I sound pathetic enough yet that they'll do it?
No.
Please.
We'd also like to see smugglers.
I am always in favor of smugglers.
Yep.
I am always in favor of smugglers in all things Star Wars.
Yes.
This means you can bring in some expanded universe standbys.
Booster Tarek.
How did Booster Tarek wind up at the spice mines of Kessel?
Talon Card.
Yes, please.
Someone in the chat writes, how about a plot with Card versus Booster versus Mazik versus Jabba versus...
Oh, dear.
I'm sold on it.
Yeah.
I mean, smugglers, and one of the plots can be smuggling arms to the rebellion.
Yes. Ooh.
Wouldn't Cardass still be in business around then?
He would. I think he started phasing out after Yavin.
Cool.
Yeah, so he could work, yeah.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Corsec.
Yes, Corsec. To get the Horn family in there.
Corsec would be a great, great thing to have. And then they can figure out how to make sense of Corran's backstory. you can show, Nija or whatever.
But Corsec would be interesting to look at this as people on the side of law being forced to choose between the Empire and perhaps the rebels that they sympathize with.
Yeah. I like it.
And of course, pilots. Pilots who I say should be the new clone troopers in this series. That mm-hmm. should be, that should get that military presence focus.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
Yep. The adventures of a very young Wedge Antilles.
I would like that.
It would be great. I see this as being a very likely thing for Rebels to do.
Even if they make new pilots, I'd be fine with that.
Because they're new. Bring people. On more pilots. They're yeah. great characters to. They're great characters for the universe.
Yeah, you can throw in a few EU bones. You know, have Wedge for the movie people. Maybe have like
have Wes be your comic relief.
Yeah, and then you know have new people because we like new pilots. New pilots are great. Give us new pilots.
And something you and I often talk about are politicians.
Yes, that sounds like make us sound really boring.
We want Star Wars to be a political thriller.
Yes.
Please.
But I mean, you gotta have Bail Organa. I would really like to see Bail Iblis. I would really like to see Bail Iblis and Mon Mothma fighting.
Yes, definitely.
And so do all three of us have it in our headcanon that Bail Iblis and Mon Mothma were a thing at one point?
Yes, definitely. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just checking.
But I would really, really, really like for them to have Mon Mothma be a main character in this series, like how Padme was, but even more in Clone Wars. We saw Mon Mothma a few times, but I don't think she ever spoke. And
I think she has a decent chance.
I would love to see Mon Mothma be a key player in Rebels.
Yeah, like I only read the one episode of the new Star Wars comic, but that was one of the things I liked, that Mon Mothma had a big role. And, I she should. I love that picture of her, Bail, Garm, and Ackbar together looking at the X-Wing prototype. It is awesome.
Oh, there's a plot. There's a plot. Acquiring the X-Wing prototype from Incom. Sneaking it out from under the Empire.
You can have... they've had Tarkin in Clone Wars, so they can have Tarkin in Rebels. Show how Ackbar escaped from Tarkin.
Oh, very good.
Mm-hmm. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. And which they have, there's more, a lot of holdovers from Clone Wars of characters who haven't had, you know, any sort of closure. Hondo. Can we have more Hondo and Aka?
More Hondo.
I would love this. Asajj Ventress. She's one person who I do want to know what happens to, because I love her. I would not mind more Asajj Ventress. I'm probably certain that they will have Boba Fett. I probably wouldn't mind Boba Fett in this era, because this is where Boba Fett should be. And if they have some Boba versus Han, I'd probably be okay with that. But not all of it.
Yeah, agreed.
Especially if Dee Bradley Baker's voicing him.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Mm-hmm. I'd be A-okay with that. And this must be your note, Bria.
I can't help it. Because, okay, if you're going to put something in that era and you're going to call it Rebels, then I just really want to see Bria Theron and also be greater than Rebels, but mostly Bria Theron.
Yeah, that would be cool. Well, you could have them in Corsac in one episode.
Yeah, you could have a whole Corellia plot line.
I am still mad we never got to see Corellia in Clone Wars.
Have we ever seen it?
No, we have never seen Corellia.
You're right, we didn't. I thought with how long it ran, we for sure saw it somewhere in there, but we didn't.
Nope. We got Alderaan in one of the episodes, which made me really happy. But no, never Corellia.
That's really disappointing. That is something I think this series would be a great location to visit, is Corellia.
Yeah, I agree. And I know someone had mentioned... I'd seen on Twitter they were talking about would it be possible to see the Emperor's hands. I don't know about that. I would love to see Mara, but I'd be just so afraid they'd screw up.
Although getting Mara in there would be a gigantic middle finger to everyone who is dancing on the grave of the expanded universe.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't mind it. If they, you know, have an Emperor's Hand episode, that would be kind of cool. Even if it wasn't Mara, if it was just a Emperor's Hand.
Mm-hmm. Or just an offhand reference mention. That'd be great. Oh. I'd take that.
Nut says, what if they showed how Palpatine obtained Mara? I would cry. I don't know if I'd be able to handle that episode.
That would be...
Because little baby Mara Jade being taken away from parents makes me want to cry.
That would
I'm
be
like,
really
she could have
rough.
Been happy. Why did you have to do that?
So, yeah, there's a lot of things to be excited about for as far as Rebels go. And there's a big blank slate the writers and creators have to work with. Yeah. And it's probably asking a lot, probably too much, but there's room to borrow and take from the expanded universe.
Yeah, I mean, those are just some things I'd like to see. I don't expect them to take all their ideas from the expanded universe, but, like, you know, they brought in Quinlan Vos from the EU and Clone Wars. They brought in the Night Sisters and Dathomir and those ideas. So I can see them borrowing ideas and characters, and I think what I hope is that they do a lot of different types of stories with Rebels. You know, I would love to see, like, politicians focused on and have Mon Mothma be a main character, but I'd also love to see pilots. I'd like to see smugglers. I just like to see all different types of stories. And, you know, obviously they're probably going to be showing Vader and Palpatine, and, you know, there aren't really a lot of Jedi running around in this time period. So they've got a lot more different protagonists they can play with. You know, you can't just rely on the Jedi to, you know, be the protagonist. You've got, you need to have someone else. You got to have pilots or whoever.
Yeah. With the Jedi not really around in this picture, unless the entire show is going to be about Vader hunting down Jedi.
And that could be interesting for an arc, but it would be boring the entire show. That's what I'm saying. I hope they keep with the Clone Wars style and just have a lot of different arcs that are different stories and, you know, just make it very eclectic and something for everyone, basically.
I agree, and I think this show can really do that, which is why I've gone from being lukewarm on it to pretty excited for it.
Lukewarm.
Easy, Nancy.
I wouldn't mind if they did show Luke on Tatooine. I could deal with them showing Luke and having, like, Obi-Wan watching over him. They can even have, like, a confrontation between Obi-Wan and Owen. That would be neat. Ooh, they can have that whole scene where that's in the A New Hope novelization where they talk about Obi-Wan rescuing Luke and someone else, I can't remember who it was, and taking Luke back to the homestead, and then Owen chased him off.
Oh.
Can we do that?
Yes, let's do that.
Can we just write the show?
I'm down for that. Bria, any parting thoughts?
Just that I'm excited.
Excellent. There's a lot to be excited about. And I know people were really upset when the Clone Wars got canceled, but given how the Clone Wars ended on that note, and we've got this new series here to push Star Wars forward, to take us into really a new era of the fandom, I'm pretty optimistic about where this franchise is going under Disney's leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, I just read something elsewhere that I really liked the idea of. Someone was saying they wanted to see closure to Maul in Rebels. And they're like, can we just get confirmation that Owen shot him in the head?
I would give anything for that.
Can we have that plot be made canon? That would be great.
I'll take it. All right, that's going to wrap up Cammy's concerns this week. Our thoughts on Star Wars Rebels. We're excited for it. You should be too. Mm-hmm. And with that, we're going to go into our final segment of the show, a segment we call Ask Us Anything, where we solicit your questions and we're forced to answer them.
Well, not forced. I mean, no one's holding a gun to our heads.
Yet.
Yet? What? I didn't sign up for this.
Riorin asks, what's the best superpower?
Teleportation.
Wonder why you said that.
I might be biased, though.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a bit.
Or flying. I've always wanted to fly.
So I think teleportation is the most useful, or that or telekinesis are the most useful, but the Emma Frost fan in me really wants to be a telepath.
I'm terrified of you having telepathic powers.
Why?
She says that so innocently.
I'm pretty sure you would be bent on global domination and could carry it out.
Me?
Yes.
Brian.
You'd have the utopia of Bria set up in 3 weeks.
I'm not sure that would be a bad thing if I were planning it, but
Well, I'm going to go with, I definitely won't go with creating things in your mind and make them real as long as they're green, or the power to communicate with fish. Won't go with those two.
Okay.
I'm going to go with teleportation, too. Cop-out answer. Nut in the Chat asks us, what was the most disturbing hoopla dance?
I don't know if it was dance, but it was definitely Palpatine's hair. Which was a white afro type thing.
What if you go back a few years, most disturbing thing you've seen at the Hyperspace Hoopla?
Luke and Leia dancing to I've Had the Time of My Life.
Bury your feelings, Luke. Bury your feelings. Mm-hmm. Best Star Wars scene to reenact as a ride at Disney. Ooh. This is a good one. I'm going with the asteroid chase.
I agree. Trench Run.
Well, there was the old Star Tours, but that's gone.
Well,
now.
There's an asteroid chase in this one, too.
True.
Trench Run roller coaster.
The Kessel Run coaster. That's not an actual scene, yes. But I want that.
Yes.
You too can make the Kessel Run in less than...
Can we get the Mos Eisley Cantina too?
That would be fun.
I'd be down for that. The character that Disney most needs walking around the park.
Wedge.
They need at least a pilot station somewhere.
Yeah. I don't even know who they have in the park, but...
I think Lando would be fun.
Yes.
You know, that's true, because do they have many colored male characters out as a character meet and greet?
I doubt it.
I think they have Mace Windu out.
Oh, true, yes.
I think that's it, though.
Although, if they ever get some Marvel stuff in the park, it's going to be weird having Mace Windu next to Nick Fury for a meet and greet.
Yeah.
Will a Star Wars-themed monorail ever happen?
Duh.
Give it about 6 months before Episode 7 comes out. That'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the last of our questions for this week. Remember, every week we podcast live, and when we podcast live, that means you can send us your questions and we'll answer them.
I think Mara has a question.
Oh, what's the question, Mara?
She wants to know if we're done.
we are just about wrapping up. Good news for you, Mara.
That's what I think she's asking.
This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Head over to the blog, click the links there to sign up for a free membership at Audible.com or to get some great merchandise from Her Universe. Every time you get something through those links, it sends a bit of money our way to help pay for our server hosting costs. You can find us on Twitter with the handles at @Tosh_station. That's the official show account. You can find me with @LaneWinery, LaneWinree. You can find Nancy with @NancyPants. That's Nancy with an I. And you can find Bria with @ChaosBria. On Facebook, we're the Tosche Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It does help us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tosche-Station.net. That's the official blog of the show. Thank you for listening to another episode, and we will catch you next week with a review of Star Trek Into Darkness. So long.
Hola.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TosheStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tosche Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.